Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. Let brotherly love continue. Boy, that's a mouthful and a heartful right there, isn't it? Let brotherly love continue. Before I go any further, did you know that's not an automatic? That's something that has to be allowed. That's something that has to be worked at. Talking about marriage and a marriage conference, marriage is something you've got to work at. Amen. You better work at it. Amen. And the Bible said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. I heard a statistic today on the radio that since the president has been in office, inaugurated, there have been 47 people that were wrongly imprisoned in prisons overseas that have been returned home. Can you imagine being that family and having a loved one that's locked up in Russia or locked up in one of those godless countries? I just want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Anyway, he said, remember them that are in bonds. That's what caused me to think of it. And Paul, no doubt, is in bonds. He's in prison with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, when one part of the body hurts, one member, the whole body hurts. And then this almost seems like it's out of context. And I believe the Lord's helped me right here, but he just interjects right here, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I mean, I don't know about you, but to me, and I know it fits because it's the Bible and it's divinely inspired, but it's almost like something's just plugged right in the middle of another thought process. And then he said, let your conversation or your behavior, this is not just talking about what you say, it's talking about how you live your life. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me say this before I'm going to read another verse or two. One of the things that's wrong in our country is we've got a generation of preachers that's afraid to preach. They're afraid to preach what thus saith the word of God because of maybe it's a bunch of deacons, or maybe it's even higher than that in their organization. And I've said for years that the problems in our country don't lay at the steps of the White House. They lay at the steps of God's house. There was a time in this country when God's men thundered, amen, on the issues of the day, amen. And I appreciate the Lord. The Bible said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then, Brother Brian, when you were opening up, I thought about this verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. His power is the same. His purpose is the same. His person is the same. Amen. Glory to God, his promises are the same, amen, as they were when he wrote them down, amen. Let's pray a moment. We'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit of the living God. God, I know there are others that would be here tonight that are working. There are others that would be here tonight that are sick. But God, we're here. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you, God, for your blessings. I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we look into the Word of God for just a little while. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about contentment. Let's look at a verse in 1 Timothy 6:6, and I'll be going back there to close the message in that chapter. But right now, I want to look at see the importance of the subject tonight. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 6, the Bible said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you see that right there? And the Bible said in verse number 9 of that chapter, but they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And many times this next verse is misquoted. Many times people will say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible said. It said the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Years ago, I heard someone say, a man is rich not in respect of what he has, but he is rich in respect to what he wants. If you don't want anything, you're the richer than a man, beloved, that's got about everything but wants more, always wanting more. And Ben Franklin, he said this, and I thought it was good. He said, contentment makes poor men rich, and discontent makes rich men poor. Think about that for just a moment. When I read that statement by Ben Franklin, I thought of a lady lived down in Carter's Valley as the power lines go over, as you go below Sirgoinsville down there, and her name was Lissy Malk. And Lissy lived in a shack. Now, I am not just saying that. It was a shack. And she had an outdoor toilet, what do you call them things? Outhouse? Yeah, she had one of them. And it was fancy. It didn't have a moon in the door. Amen. I remember going down there one time, and I went many times, but I went one time, Brother Dale, and stepped through the porch. The board broke and on the front porch, and I had to duck down to go under the porch, and the board broke, and I went in, and I said, Sister Lissy, I'm going to bring a bunch of men down here from the church, and we're going to put you a porch on this place. And she said, No, preacher. She said, we don't want to fix it up too nice. She said, if you want to patch it for me, I'd appreciate that. But she said, we fix it up too nice. Said, they'll just fight over it when I'm gone. That's what she said. Amen. You go down there, and it wouldn't matter if it was 90 degrees. She'd be sitting in a rocker. She'd have a sweater on, a bonnet on, and a Bible in her lap. I'm telling you, the woman loved God. I've never seen so much contentment in all of my life. Amen. And that's what it reminded me of when I read that statement by Ben Franklin. I'll give you this. She said another thing that was hilarious one day. We went in, it was springtime like it is now, and the weather was warming up nice. Somebody said, Sister Lissy, it sure is nice out there, ain't it? She said, yeah. She said, but the preacher will turn that old air conditioner on and make it wintertime again. You do. You can't please everybody. Amen. I'm telling you, you remember Lissy, don't you, Brother Chuck? Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing she was. I want to look at some things tonight that really ought to cause us to want to live a life of contentment. And the first thing is the presence of our Lord. The Bible said here, He would never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I got three things here I'll just share with you real quickly that the presence of the Lord does in our life. Number one, it provides help. Jesus said, when I go away, He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. You can look that up, and it's a paraclete. It's one called alongside to help. Amen. I'm glad I have a helper in life. Amen. Not just to help me and Miss Eve, but I've got a helper in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that He goes with me everywhere I go. And then it produces praise, the presence of the Lord in our life. Look at verse number 15. By Him, therefore... you see, by Him, we can't have that life of praise without Him and being conscious of His presence. Amen. And by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, what's that next word say? Periodically? Is that what it says? When you feel like it? Is that what it says? When things are going well? Is that what it says? When the bills are paid? No, the word is continually. God is worthy. As our brother said a while ago, whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, whether the cupboards are full or empty, whether the bills are paid or not, whether we're hurting or whether we're feeling good, God is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. Amen. The Bible said, let him that hath breath praise the Lord. That is the fruit of our lips. giving thanks to His name. Brother Mark's not here tonight, and I won't say a last name. That way when it goes out over the internet, nobody will know who I'm talking about. But there was a man last night, he told me this. He said, the other day, I may not get this exactly right, but I'll get it close. He said, I was sitting there and I got a lot going on in my life, a lot going on in my business. He said, I got four vehicles. And he said, every one of them's got something wrong with it. Amen. And then he said he got a phone call. And in the phone call, it was revealed that a 16-year-old boy had brain tumors, stage four. He said, after I got off the phone, he said, I looked up Brother Junior and said, God forgive me. I ain't got no trouble. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, amen. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed, amen, with things that really don't matter. Amen. And it's going to work out one day after a while. And then the presence of the Lord not only provides help for us and it produces praise in our life and a thankful spirit in our life, but it pleases God. The Bible said in verse number 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For which, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you know Him, you want to please Him. Amen. And if you love Him, you want to please Him. I love my wife. I want to please her. She don't have to do this, Brother Junior, but about every time I mow the grass, she'll say, honey, the yard looks good. Amen. Well, it would look good if Jeremy, or was my son, was riding the mower. It would look good if my grandson, Sawyer, was riding the mower. But you know what? It pleases her. Amen. Thank God it pleases her. And I let her know about the cooking that pleases me too. Say amen. Amen. I didn't get this big with a bad cook, that's for sure. Amen. I'm reminded when I think about the consciousness of His presence of Dr. Howard Robinson. He's in heaven now. He had a daughter that died with cancer, I think in her 30s. And then his wife passed away. And the last time I saw Brother Howard, he had a big old black patch on one of his glasses, on one side of his glasses. And he was still going, but really, really slowed way, way down. He'd go on visitation, Brother John, and lots of time. He lived in Bristol. And I don't know how far he was into his ministry, but he said, Lord, if You'll help me, he said, I won't go to bed on Saturday night until I've knocked on 100 doors. You think about that right now. I mean, there was a lot of people, of course, in Bristol, a lot closer together, amen? But he said, many times I'd get through eating dinner on Saturday night, and he said, I'd realize I was a few short of my 100 doors. He said, I'd have to tell my wife bye. He said, I'd go out there at the curb. He said, I'd go around on the passenger side and open a door. He said, I'd say, get in, Lord, because if You don't go with me, ain't no need in me of going. You say, that man was crazy. No, he understood the presence of the Lord. Amen. And he understood his need of the presence of the Lord. He understood what Jesus said when He said, without Me, you can do nothing. Amen. And he also understood what Paul said when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The presence of the Lord makes a difference, amen, in our lives. So I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 John chapter number 2. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. We're talking about contentment in life, amen. In 1 John chapter number 2, there's some strong language. When I read this today, I was reminded of something that I heard years ago from a preacher. The Bible said here in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that. God did. We got no business loving this world. Amen. And the Bible said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. By the way, those are the three temptations that Jesus faced. When He come out of that fasting and when He was in the wilderness, amen, and old Slewfoot come along, everything that He faced is wrapped up in these three things right here, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, amen. You remember, I don't have time to go into that study right there, but that's why the Bible could say He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. It's not this Hollywood junk, amen, where He was lusting after a woman or something like that, amen. That's a bunch of junk, amen. I'm telling you, our Lord never done such a thing. Amen. And the Bible is teaching us here. He said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I like that, don't you? Now, we've looked at the presence of the Lord, and we need that if we're going to be content. And by the way, I don't believe God will ever leave us and ever forsake us. I don't believe that. But how many believes there's times in your life that it feels like he's way off? And there's times in your life when you feel like you're sitting in his lap. Amen. In other words, you get the sense his presence. He's always there because he can't lie. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And when it seems like he's way off, let me say this to you. The problem's never with him. The problem's always with us. Amen. It's us. It's us. A woman was riding down the road with her husband in a pickup truck. One of them with a bent seat on it. Boy, those were the days. Say amen. Amen. When there wasn't something between you and your wife all the time. Say amen. At console. You like that, don't you, Mike? Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, she said they passed somebody and the woman was sitting right over against the man. And this woman looked at her husband and said, we used to ride like that. He was driving. He said, honey, I'm sitting right where I always did. Amen. In other words, you're the one moved over against the door. Amen. Just slide on back over here. Amen. We'll try this again. The presence of the Lord. I tell you what, when you don't sense his presence, why don't you just get on your knees and say, Lord, I slid over against the door. I'm coming back. You got the wheel in my life. You got the gas pedal and you got the brake. Amen. I want to slide over next to the driver. I don't like them bumper stickers that says God's my co-pilot. Say amen. That means you've got as much to do with the driving as he does. He better be the pilot. Say amen. He better be the one leading the way. The presence of the Lord. Secondly, let's look at the proclamation of our Lord. Not only the presence of our Lord, but let's look at some things that he says in this text, that he proclaims to us in this text. I want you to look with me, please. First of all, concerning possessions. We read to you a while ago, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that's pretty strong language. But I will want to stop and say something tonight. Some people think there's something wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having things. The bad part comes when things have you. Amen. You got a nice car and you find yourself waxing it at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. You got a problem. Say amen. God's given you a good home. I was talking a while ago about mowing the grass. Amen. And you're out there mowing the grass while God's people are meeting in God's house. Something's got you. Amen. I'm telling you what, we can turn the cattle in on it and let them eat it before I'm going to do that. Say amen. That's just the way that it is. Concerning possessions, I want you to see this. I read you a strong text in the book of 1 John, but let's look at a text in the book of Colossians, please. Colossians. And I think it's chapter number 3 and verse number 5. You're talking about a strong text. Watch this now. Well, let me back up. Verse number 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I'm going to back up. Let's go to verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. How many's ever been guilty in your Christian life, after you've been saved, of being tied up too much with what's down here? And that's where your heart was. That's where your affections were. That's where what you were working for. And God said, don't set your heart. Seek those things which are above, where Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Look at verse 3. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify. That means something needs to die. Mortify therefore your members, watch this now, which are upon the earth. I want you to look at this list of sins. Fornication. Ain't no Baptist would have a hard time understanding that's wrong. That's sin. Amen. But I want to show you something. And then he said, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and, watch it, covetousness, which is idolatry. That, beloved, is strong language. Amen. God is telling us we're not, beloved, to get our hearts and our minds and our affections on things down here. There's not one of us that would put up with somebody carrying a box in here with a little wooden god in it and setting it on the communion table and bowing down to it on Sunday morning. Not one of us would put up with that. We'd say, get that out of here. Amen. But if we're not careful, there'll be a different form of idolatry in our lives. Amen. And I said, if we're not careful, it's things that we need to work at. Amen. So concerning, he made a proclamation concerning possessions. He said, be content with such, there's the word, things as you have. A woman got mad at the preacher. Said, you'd be a good preacher if you just quit preaching on so many things. He said, honey, come back tonight and I'll see what I can do about it. She came back on Sunday night. He got up and read his text. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's the way some preachers are. Amen. Open the wound and pour salt in it while it's open. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, God made a proclamation concerning our possession. Then look at the proclamation concerning people. Let brotherly love continue. Some people are not content unless they're arguing about something. But God said, let brotherly love continue. Then he said, I think about these things right here with people. Number one, we need to love people. In verse number one, that's not hard for a Christian to do, is it? It's never been hard for me to do, to love people. Amen. I mean, I don't know. I think the Bible said something like this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I've always loved people. Amen. Since I got saved by the grace of God. By the way, I don't say this to toot my own horn. It's humbling. You can ask Miss Eve how it humbled me. A man called me and asked me to preach at a meeting in August. And it's a iron sharpeneth iron conference where we're trying to help preachers. Amen. And he said, I've got a couple of subjects I'd like for you to address. I said, what are they, brother? He said, I want you to preach, first of all, on loving people. To have a reputation of loving people. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. You follow Jesus around, you wouldn't get through half a day with him, Brother Gary. And you'd say, he loves people. He loves people. He wants to help people. He don't want to hurt people. He loves people. Amen? I'm glad he loves sinners. Amen? Hallelujah. Concerning people, we see we need to love people, number one. Number two, we need to remember people. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Brother Kenny, you requested prayer for Abram. God willing, I'll see him in the middle of May. Amen. And it's not a pleasant situation. That facility's under federal investigation right now, where he is. And we ought to remember people, amen, and pray one for another. And that's what he's concerning people. God makes a proclamation here. You see, if you got your focus on heaven and you got your focus on others, that's the key right there, amen, to a content, a life full of contentment, amen, because you really don't have time for the mully grubs, amen. Watch what he said here. As yourselves and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And then in verse number 4, he said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Listen to me carefully. I wrote these notes down when I was studying this today. Number one, God wants us to love people. Number two, God wants us to remember people. But you get this, God wants us to warn people. Listen, we may have children, we may have grandchildren not doing right, we may have neighbors not doing right. A pastor's going to stand in a pulpit and preach the Word of God, and God said part of loving people is warning them. He put that right there. He said, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And I tell you what will knock a halo off of every man. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. Good for you. God bless you. But Jesus said, if you even look at a woman, amen and amen. And I'm telling you, that's tough, youngins. Amen. I'm glad there's mercy. I'm glad there's forgiveness. I'm glad there's cleansing. You can shine your halo if you want to. Amen. And a lot of ladies invite it. Say amen. And we should never do that. That's why the Bible talks about modesty. But I'm telling you tonight, a man is without excuse. If he's content with his wife, that's where his eyes need to stay. So I'll preach the rest of this message looking at you, Miss Eve. Am I telling the truth tonight or not? God loves us enough to give us a warning. Michael, 2 years. I hope and pray to God, 22 years, 32 years, 42 years, 52 years. Whatever God gives you. I'll just go ahead and tell you this, you ain't going to do no better. When you've got the best, why look elsewhere? Amen. Amen. There ain't no use in you looking for a rabbit just because you got a turtle, Sister Debbie. Amen. No need in it whatsoever. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I got a bunch of people that love me. Let me get by with murder in the pulpit. Amen. Justin, you're next for laughing. Amen. Not only the proclamation of our Lord concerning possessions and concerning people, but what about concerning His promises? Y'all can think I'm crazy, but you can't turn the news on now without them talking about the president. And here's what they say. Promises made, promises kept. Glory to God, I got one better than that. I got a book. Every promise He ever made, He's kept it. Amen. He never broke a promise. Ain't that a blessing? God, who cannot lie. Hallelujah. What a blessing. And then concerning prayer. That promise is kept in verse number 5 when He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Concerning prayer, verse number 10, He said, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Brother Chuck, you remember a day when preachers were asked often, whose camp are you in? My answer has always been the same. None of them. I'm outside the camp with Jesus. Amen. I mean that. I mean that. Listen tonight. I'm going to give you something here in a minute, and it'll go along with this. Concerning peace, look at verse number 18. The Bible said, pray for us that we trust we have a good conscience and all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, in verse number 20. I'm telling you, God makes a proclamation concerning our peace. He said that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you, which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, there's a reason that God's people die well. There's a reason. There's a peace. We know this is not the end. This is just, see you later. I remember when my grandpa died, and I may have told you this before, I'm sure I did. My grandmother was sitting at the foot of the bed. I leaned over. My grandfather was really sick. And he was in Abingdon, and I was in Tennessee, and I drove up to see him. I kissed him on the forehead. And I said, Grandpa, I'll see you later. And my grandmother was very visibly upset. She was weeping and her shoulders going up and down. She said, "Rick, honey, ain't you going to tell him bye?" She acted like I didn't know the seriousness of his condition. I said, "Granny, I don't have to tell him bye. I know where he's headed, and I'm going to see him later." I said what I said on purpose. Amen. I didn't say goodbye. We just uncouple for a little while, and we're going to couple right back up in glory around the throne of God. Amen. The proclamation of our Lord. Let me give you this hurriedly tonight. I want you to notice number 3. We've looked at the presence of our Lord. That ought to produce contentment in our life. The proclamation of our Lord ought to produce contentment in our life. But I want you to look at the perspective of our Lord. If we could just see things the way He sees them. If we could just perceive things the way He perceives them. You say, where did you get that in the chapter? Look at verse 14. It says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I'm telling you, beloved, if you could be content today, if you really believed before the clock strikes midnight, we could be home. Let me show you something. Go with me to 1 Timothy, please, chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I'll find it in a minute. This is awesome. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip a few verses right here. There's a doctrine which is according to godliness at the end of verse 3. And then he is proud. In other words, if he doesn't do that, wholesome words, he's proud, not knowing anything, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You know what a lot of people think? They think because these fellas that's on TV got 3 airports and 3 airplanes, they must be godly. I'm going to tell you what, if you suppose that gain is godliness, you've got it backwards. The Bible said here, "From such withdraw thyself." He said, but, I love that word in the Bible, godliness with contentment is great gain. Watch this. Here's the perspective of our Lord. We brought nothing into the world. That's what He said. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And the Bible said, having food and raiment therewith. How many's eat today? Ain't nobody here naked tonight. Everybody got clothes. Amen. And God said, that right there is enough to be content. I'm going to say this tonight. You don't have to like it, but it's true. That's more than we deserve. I've drunk several bottles of water today. Brother Larry, you could just take a cap full to hell. They'd give everything they ever owned for a few drops out of that cap. Isn't that good? What God's done for us? He said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I read something today that I want to read in your hearing tonight. This really spells it out, I believe. Listen to this. Philip, I think you would say his name Parham, he tells the story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. He said, what would I do with them? You could earn more money. This was his impatient reply. And buy a better boat. And you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets. Catch even more fish and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me. The fisherman asked, then what would I do? He said, you could sit down and enjoy life. Fisherman said, what's it look like I'm doing now? As he looked happily out across the sea. That's a vicious cycle right there, ain't it? Just to get back to what he was doing. Already, godliness with contentment is great gain. How many glad you come tonight?